In today's episode, we are going over four accounts of people who went missing at Yellowstone National Park without a trace. And make sure you hit that subscribe button because I release stories about the strange and weird every single day. The United States has a total of 63 national parks. Over 300 million people visit these national parks every single year. But with such a flood of visitors, there needs to be a safety net. Thus, the National Park Service was created. It was created in 1916 by the U.S. Congress, and its job is not only to protect the park, but also the visitors. Now, almost 600,000 people go missing every single year in the United States, and many of these cases take place in the wilderness. With our national parks comprised of several million acres of land, most of it tough terrain to navigate for even the most experienced, it's no surprise that there have been some dangerous outcomes when people submerge themselves in the wilds of our parks. Hiking in Yellowstone is one of the most loved pastimes of visitors of the park. They have the option to tag along with a ranger, or go on a day hike, or take on a longer, more arduous trails that truly leave hikers alone in the wilderness. While trails are marked for difficulty level and length, not everyone pays attention to these guidelines. A shocking number of hikers tackle the trails unprepared for inclement weather, injuries, or unexpected overnight stays. Is this the reason that several people have gone missing within the Yellowstone borders? If they simply stepped off the path for a moment, wouldn't their remains have been found by others passing the same way? After all, 3 million visitors a year are bound to cover a fair amount of acreage in this national park. Surprisingly, between 2018 and 2020, there were only 371 reported search and rescue cases in Yellowstone National Park. That's not many considering how many visitors get to the park annually. Unfortunately, some people don't make it out of Yellowstone alive, but even stranger, a handful have never been found. As of today, there are four individuals who have disappeared in Yellowstone without a trace. The circumstances of their stories and situations vary, but one fact remains: no one knows what happened to them. Dan Campbell may be by far the most interesting case of a person going missing in Yellowstone National Park. Not only did his disappearance draw a lot of attention from the media, but this case remains in the public eye thanks to his family's insistence that the Park Service handled everything completely wrong. Campbell was 41 years old when he began his hike in the hell-roaring trailhead region of the park on April 4, 1991 with his dog, an Australian Shepherd. Campbell was known to pack light, and it became known that he was out on the park looking for elk antlers. Gathering antlers and selling them is an illegal but not uncommon practice on public land. Campbell's older brother, Bill, stated that he had been running with some pretty shady characters. In an effort to get enough money to move to White Sulphur Springs, collecting and selling antlers was part of these efforts. Campbell's girlfriend, Tracy Erb, was supposed to meet him in the Jardine area just outside the park on April 6th. She was to pick him up and bring him home. When she didn't show, Tracy reported him missing on April 8th. It should be noted that the hike from Hell Roaring Creek Trail to Jardine is a long one. Some experienced hikers have said that it would have been tough to complete the hike in just 2 days. Unfortunately for Campbell, another factor was likely slowing him down. Shortly after his set out on his hike on April 4th, winter weather was documented in the park. A spring snowstorm came through and unexpectedly covered the area in snow. If Campbell had packed light and wasn't anticipating cold weather, there's a chance that he became a victim to hypothermia. But Campbell's family has other suspicions, ones that they claim the Park Service didn't look into in a professional manner. Searchers spent weeks in the air and on the ground looking for a sign of Campbell. Due to distrust in the investigation, Bill Campbell dug into his brother's disappearance on his own and discovered that at the time, there were at least 14 other individuals in the area looking for antlers. One of them had heard 2 gunshots. Shortly after Dan's disappearance, his family became vocal about their dissatisfaction with the investigation. His younger brother, Rod, was quoted saying, "If Dan's in the park, he's buried. In 2000, 9 years after his disappearance, Campbell's three brothers, Bill, Jerry, and Rod, decided to sue former Park County Sheriff Charlie Johnson. The brothers claim that Charlie botched the investigation of what could have been Dan Campbell's murder. In response, park officials came out and said that Dan Campbell's case was always treated as a disappearance and not a homicide, insinuating that they had no reason to believe that he may have been murdered. But his brothers uphold that during the investigation. Information came out that pointed toward a more sinister ending for Dan Campbell. Charlie Johnson didn't bother following that line of possibility. The lawsuit, filed on January 10th of 2000, stated that Johnson breached his legal duty to properly and competently conduct the investigation related to the disappearance of Dan Campbell. Aside from the other 14 hunters in the area, most of whom weren't tracked down and questioned, and the gunshots heard, the Montana Criminal Investigation Bureau was also involved at some point, according to the paperwork. The Bureau doesn't normally investigate missing persons, so it makes sense that the Campbell family is suspicious of their involvement. Could the park staff have been considering other possibilities for Dan's disappearance and not made their concerns public? Additionally, during the investigation, Johnson's deputies did interview two other antler hunters. Not that impressive considering there were 12 more in the area at that time. The hunters were camping outside of the park's northern boundaries, and park staff seized their equipment. Instead of analyzing the gear appropriately, using fingerprinting, fiber analysis, and other modes of testing to figure out if they had run into Campbell at all, Johnson simply returned the gear, which included ammo, spent cartridges, and supposedly a firearm. This is where Dan's brothers are sure that Johnson didn't make a true effort. With so many other hunters in the area, many of whom likely had guns, and a competitive illegal practice taking place, in their eyes, it's just as possible that their brother was murdered as he became lost in winter weather, especially if there has been no body or sign of Dan Campbell found. It's been speculated that Campbell disappeared on purpose, but his family denies that as a possibility. He was due to collect a significant legal settlement in a court case, so why would he have skipped out on that windfall? Campbell's family believes it is much more likely that he ran into other hunters who killed him out of competition and hid his body within the park. They also believe that the Park Service knows this was a possibility, but botched the investigation, meaning they will likely never know what really happened to Dan. Yellowstone National Park and park officials have stood by Johnson, openly declaring that the case is and always has been considered a disappearance. Still, it doesn't look good for Johnson. He was eventually investigated for misuse of authority and sexual assault, with a cash settlement paid to the woman accusing him. And later, an uprising in the Park Service resulted in all but one of Johnson's deputies signing a document publicly endorsing his challenger, who eventually beat him in the 1998 election. Whatever went on in the investigation, whether botched or not, it doesn't look like we will be finding out what truly happened to Dan Campbell during his hunting trip. Bruce Pike was last seen on August 2, 2006, at the campground on Indian Creek. Indian Creek Campground is located near the northern border of the park, just off of 89 and south of Mammoth Hot Springs. Hiking trails as well as great fishing spots are easily accessible from the campground. The National Park Service notes that there's no cell service at the site, and it's also located in bear country. Beyond the very basic information, there's not much known about Pike. At the time he disappeared, he was 47. He had brown hair, brown eyes, and often wore glasses. The National Park Service has him listed as lost or injured missing. Oddly, absolutely no one knows what Pike was up to in Yellowstone. Several hiking trails are accessible from Indian Creek, including the Bighorn Pass Trail, a 19.2-mile point-to-point trail considered to be moderately challenging to hikers. Elk and moose are sighted on the trail regularly. Is it possible that Pike was there to hike one of the trails out of Indian Creek? what are the chances he was attacked by a wild animal in the backcountry, but somehow went completely unseen on some of the more popular well-traveled trails? Pike's vehicle would eventually be found abandoned in the park, which prompted the initial search for him, but it doesn't appear that he had any family or friends looking for him. There's not a trail of media attention on his disappearance, at least nothing that is easy to find. Even the National Park Cold Case Database lacks the answers to some pretty straightforward questions. Where was he from? Did he appear to have any camping or hiking gear in his car? Had anyone else at the campsite seen him that day? When Pike set foot in the park in 2006, he would leave behind more questions than answers, and no clue as to what his plans were. On September 6, 2010, Stuart Isaac left a note for his family at home in Burtonsville, Maryland. In it, he wrote he was embarking on a cross-country trip. He ended up driving approximately 32 hours to Yellowstone National Park. Stuart's black 2009 Lexus sedan would later be found abandoned at Craig Pass during a routine patrol of the area by park staff. This was 20 days after he left home on September 26th. Park Service employees found that the car was unlocked and still had keys inside. They began a search immediately. It's reported that Isaac had no hiking or camping experience. The area where his car was found is 8 miles east of Old Faithful on the Grand Loop Road. There were no hiking trails in this area at the time, so it's unlikely that he was planning on hiking that day. But what would have gotten Isaac out of his car, and did he plan to return to it quickly, having left his keys there? Despite ground and air searches, Stuart Isaac has never been found. IDing his body would have been relatively easy, as he has tattoos on both shoulder blades and his right tricep. But there was literally nothing for the searchers to discover, nor has there been to this day. Why did he decide to head to Yellowstone that day in September? And what caused his disappearance? A hike that went wrong? Suicide? Or something more sinister? The one clue that searchers, friends, and family members have is a call that he made 2 days before his arrival in the park. On September 24th, Isaac had called a friend in Guam, Matsu Evans. Matsu thought the call was strange, and Isaac usually preferred text or email for communication. Isaac told Matsu he was en route to Yellowstone, and they spoke for 2 hours at the time of the call. It was 3:30 a.m. in Maryland. Matsu is quoted having said, "I was surprised to hear from him because he seldom made calls. We text each other and we do email. Now that I know he's missing, why would he call me 2 days just before something happened? It's a good question. This phone call to Guam is the last known communication that Isaac made. He never reached out to his family again, so it's impossible to know what his plans were." Unfortunately, there was very little coverage of this missing persons case, and his family doesn't seem to have spoken out about the odd circumstances. A quickly jotted note, an unlikely cross-country trip for an inexperienced hiker in an empty car. Kim Crumbo has been described by family and friends and colleagues as a legend, and his track record definitely supports that statement. Crumbo gained notoriety as a part of the Navy SEAL team, earning a Presidential Unit Citation for extraordinary heroism in Vietnam with SEAL Team 1. He was also awarded a Bronze Star for personal acts of heroism. Crumbo also ended up finding work as a park ranger and a river guide. To say that he was familiar with the outdoors and wild areas would be an understatement. Several of his colleagues have remarked that Crumbo was the man to have with you out in the wild. His experience and love for nature made him capable and competent. At the time of his disappearance, Kim Crumbo was 74 and working as a board member and a wildlands coordinator for the Rewilding Institute, a conservation nonprofit. He also served on the boards of several other conservancy groups and councils, pursuing his love of the wilderness by protecting it at all costs. In September 2021, Kim and his half-brother Mark O'Neill, who also retired from the Park Service, embarked on a 4-night excursion into Yellowstone. The brothers headed for the Shoshone Lake, located near the western border of the park. As Yellowstone's second largest lake, it is truly massive, a shocking 8,000 acres of water and shoreline. Relatives reported the men missing on September 19th, when they failed to return from their trip. That same day, searchers found an empty campsite on the south side of the lake. On September 20th, Mark O'Neill was found deceased on the east side of the lake, having washed up on shore. A canoe, paddle, personal flotation device, and other various items were found nearby. An autopsy performed on Mark would eventually reveal that he died of exposure and, more specifically, hypothermia. But the search for Kim Crumbo continued. Teams moved by foot with the assistance of search dogs. They walked trails in the area and scoured the shore of Shoshone Lake while also using helicopters to search the water in a grid pattern. But a week after the search began, and partly due to the discovery of Mark O'Neill's fate, the status changed from a rescue to a recovery. Yellowstone Submerged Resources Center began to use sonar equipment to search the lake depths, in the hopes of returning Kim to his family. However, nothing was found. In early October, as the weather changed with the approach of winter, Yellowstone National Park officials decided to officially scale back the search. This was the last formal declaration by the park regarding Kim Crumbo's disappearance. Crumbo's wife has stated that volunteers continue to work unofficially, walking the shores of the lake. She believes that her husband also perished in a surprise storm that likely overtook the lake, which can appear tranquil, but can quickly change into a dangerous situation. According to the National Park Service, the lake regularly experiences high winds, and the average water temperature in the area is 48 degrees Fahrenheit. Perfect conditions for a boat to go over and victims to suffer hypothermia. Survival time in these conditions is estimated by the National Park Service to be around 20 to 30 minutes tops. While in the area during the early days of the search, Crumbo's wife experienced this quick change in conditions firsthand. She stated that although some friends and colleagues still reach out hoping that Kim is alive, she is sure that he passed in the same storm that took his brother's life.